Ganz, ganz, ganz herzlichen Dank an Anne für eine spontane und wirklich wunderbar erzählte Geschichte. Congratulations to Anne Völkel for an amazing, spontaneously told and very moving and wonderful story. Please not make applause again for Anne.
Check, check, check. So, hello everyone, my name is Karan Khanat. I'm a Syrian, even though I look like a Saudi. I'm coming from Syria, from a city called Deir ez-Zor. It's on the eastern side of Syria. I was born in 1990, and I'm currently a student at College Berlin, studying politics and economics.
Karan kommt aus Syrien, aus der Stadt
I'm Melina Rani Gonzalez. I was a student here at Bard Berlin. I graduated in 2016, and I'm the alumni coordinator for Panko Conversations. So Panko Conversations is an event series of three events that are supposed to bring together Bard Berlin students, long-term Panko residents, and residents of refugee shelters in the areas. And the idea is to create some kind of event where it's going to have a lot of interaction between the community and where each group can kind of be more humanized to one another. The first event we had was, it was called Memories of Revolution, What Does Revolution Mean to You?, where we had Storytelling Arena Berlin, which is a group in Berlin that workshops stories with Syrians, and they do this really cool personal story like dramaturge thing where they tell a story in two languages at once, and it's really cool. So they came and they helped with this. And we had one woman who had been in the Friedliche Revolution in 1989 speak about her experiences in that. And then we had a student from Bard Berlin, Karam, tell about his stories with the Syrian Revolution, because he was quite active in it. So it was really cool to contrast the two stories. And the idea was a lot of people that are long-term Panko residents, they see themselves as revolutionaries, like very active in this Friedliche Revolution. But they might be quite skeptical of new people coming from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Moldova, wherever, to this area. But so the idea was to kind of show them that, like, well, these people are also revolutionaries in their own right, and so you have a lot more to connect with than you thought might have thought. Mm-hmm. So I'm Venezuelan American, mm-hmm. and the word revolution does not have a good connotation sometimes, because you have like the Chavez came in 1999 and he wanted to start this Bolivarian revolution. And so I grew up thinking revolution is kind of something that's, it's not so, it's a bit, I don't know how to say it, like, it's messy, you know, yeah. or like it's not always what it seems like it is. It's really interesting to me, because I have a unique perspective on revolution because of my cultural background, and to see how other people's, like the German perspective on revolution, the Syrian perspective on revolution, change. It was a bit, I don't want to say awkward, but it was definitely interesting, because with the German woman that was speaking, she was like really excited. She was like, this is the most exciting time of my life. And she told her story in a very happy way. Mm. And then Karam's story was very not happy. It was quite emotional. It was very difficult to hear. I was crying the whole time. And I think that one thing that I really sparked in my mind in this moment was, like, one, how lucky Germany was to be able to have their revolution, air quotes revolution, be so peaceful and so smooth, but also how that historical memory can really hinder people understanding what people from Syria are coming through. Because, like, the only German memory of revolution in the people who are alive right now is that. And so for them, it was like the best case scenario, really, that could have happened. I mean, it wasn't perfect and people died and there was, you know, some stuff happening. But, like, the fact that the government didn't militarize against them, like, that's so unique. And I think that really changed my perspective. Or it really made me think about how Germans are thinking about the Syrian revolution, because, and how those revolutions are just, like, are told to us about each other, because I can imagine that, like, it's so, like, on one hand they're both revolutionaries, but their experiences are so unrelatable. They're so unrelatable. And yeah, the theme for the next one is Nachbarschaft, like neighborhood and community. And so the idea is to have some kind of handicraft work that everybody is doing together, with, like, and broken up into small groups and given prompts about this idea of Nachbarschaft. So, like, what does community mean to you? What does equal participation mean to you? What does neighborhood mean to you? Stuff like this, because a lot of people who are long-term Pankow residents, they see themselves as a quite, you know, a strong community that's been here for a while. And in shelters, it's kind of like lacking a sense of community. And also at Bard Berlin, it's kind of it's also a strange community. So there's just a lot of different perspectives on that that I think can be explored. And I think that's a better approach than, you know, talking straight up about, like, integration, migration, racism, you know? Just incites a different kind of conversation, right. I think. Because, like, at the end of the day, everybody has a sense of community. Right. Like, everyone has a just like revolution, everyone knows what has something that means for them.
I also worked with a local newspaper in the resort, but then I was kicked out of it 4 months after working in it because I misspelled the name of the Bath party. So they kicked me out and they didn't give me any of my previous salaries, which was three months. In 2010, one of my friends was arrested by the regime just because he was talking to another friend on the phone and he cursed the president, Bashar al-Assad. And after that, he disappeared until this moment. Some of you who lived under the GDR would link that to the Secret Service that was just talked about. And in Syria, we were saying all the time that the walls have ears. So you can't even...
I think when we're talking about a mass human rights abuse, like what's happening in Syria, I don't think there's room for objectivity there. I don't think it's ethical. There's definitely danger in just the single story, but I do think that for the person themselves that's telling the story, it can be extremely helpful to be able to express that. And also, I think that the way that it's structured is in a way that's very palatable for an audience. Mm-hmm. And so it might be like something that gets people thinking more. For me, if I hear a storytelling arena story, it makes me want to learn more. And it makes me want to talk to that person. It makes me want to talk to a lot of other people. And I think that's very helpful. Because I don't think if you have like an objective or like a broad story, that you can really connect with the crisis. You can't really connect like empathetically with people who are suffering. And so that's why I think like the individual story is very important. But of course, it's important to have many individual stories. Was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind. Mädchen pflückten sie geschwind. Wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen? Sag mir, wo die Mädchen sind. Wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Mädchen sind. Was ist geschehen?
So, my name is Clara. I'm a third year student at the school, and I'm doing the politics concentration. I started doing Pankow conversations in the middle of October, so like 2 weeks before the first event. And me and Amy are the student assistants. So what we're supposed to do is just help out Melina with anything necessary. I think after the first event, we kind of restructured the whole thing for it to have three clear divisions, which are the conceptualization of the project and the specific events within it, which is up to Melina, and then outreach, and that's anything like maintaining relations with the Bezirksamt and with the neighbors, and translation, that type of stuff, that's what Amy does. And then I was doing marketing, so that was imagining how to target people, which I guess was our biggest challenge, because I think there's a lot of very hard work being put into these events, and a lot of talent, like a lot of people that really know what they're doing, but then it's hard to really engage the community outside of just our school. Places, like mutual meeting places, of course you can think of the supermarket or the church or something like that, But there's not really many events that we go to that also our neighbors go to. And just sending out blind emails and blind flyers don't really engage, you know? You go to things because you are going to meet a friend there, or because you're very... because you already trust that it's going to be a good event, and that we haven't established yet. So how to do that is tricky.
Fair. And what sort of strategies have you been coming up with in terms of like appealing to different groups of people?
So what we tried to do is have the event focus not on the conversation itself, because I think that can like make the whole thing more problematic, or like more sensationalize it, let's say it that way. Although I think the best way to engage people on a more mutual footing is just something that they like doing. So we're thinking of food or activities or cultural things, just like a fun afternoon. And then during that we would bring up the topics that we want to discuss and that we want to have a conversation about. So then the thing was targeting, instead of having a poster saying like we are going to talk about revolution or we are going to talk about community, having something that symbolizes community and having the focus being on the activity that we're going to do. So for the next event, we have tea and lots of food and cookies and stuff, and we'll be in the factory, which is of course a space we know better and we can really host people in. That's kind of the point. The topic is community, as the name might suggest. And we're going to be talking about that, of course, but I think what I really like about this event is that as a whole, it's an experiment in community. It's just sharing with whoever shows up, and even if it's just us or us with a few neighbors, that'd be amazing anyway. I think having that space to just share and talk about these topics, we don't often take it. We're just so busy doing other things. So just that would be great. And we're going to be doing several activities. Männer nahmen sie geschwind, wann wird man je verstehen, wann wird man je verstehen. I think the beauty of this project can be its small scale, because we're not going to be able to achieve anything grand if we don't start listening to like one individual in one evening. We can't offer a space for people to talk about very important topics to any human being, like community and like belonging, and then just have it fade away because it was just one event that we had to organize and nothing else. There has to be some type of system in place for the conversation to continue and for the relationship from BCB to the community to continue. Sag, wo die Soldaten sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag, wo die Soldaten sind, was ist geschehen?